Third string is in the preseason. I mean, come on, you gotta
need Stamkos. I think still people question that.
That's not shit, Andrew, but that's not how you win cups.
The Bay Rays are going to win the World Series. You can mark it down.
Okay, I'm done.
Jimmy's life has its ironies, you know, that are like...
No, Jimmy's the idiot. Jimmy's
getting laid off due to lack of work, but there is no...
So that's all that matters to you?
That's how...
Wait, that's...
Mickey's Dodgers, look. Thanks, Hector.
We got a Jersey burger and a cowboy bacon burger.
All right, we are back on the Doug Saravo Show, which is brought to you by the Monkey Bar and Grill. Swing on by. We have longtime listener and first-time guest, Daniel Placco. Dan, how are you?
Thanks for having me, Doug. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Enjoying the nice weather. No Devils playoff hockey, though.
Yep. That's what we're here to talk about.
Yep. So let's get started with our expectations. I thought they were going to win the Stanley Cup. What about you?
So I had them making it out of the second round. I remember saying you were delusional for thinking they'd win the cup, but I also was delusional thinking that they'd even make the playoffs, let alone get to the second round, let alone win the second round. So I think we're both standing here with our clown shoes on, looking like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it looked well, and then all of a sudden... Dougie Hamilton went down to injury, and it seemed like everything fell apart.
I thought when the season started slow, I said it's early. You know, they weren't expected to have that 13-game win streak like they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's November. We got time. It's not even Christmas yet. Christmas rolls around. They're still chasing a little bit. And I think, to me, the turning point in the season was that Rangers loss in February. That was the nail in the coffin when they didn't show up for arguably the biggest game of the year. And they looked flat. And that was, I think, kind of the nail in the coffin. But as you remember, you and I saying, it's not over yet in March. And
it's not over.
Long. And that's what I pinpoint the part of the season that really just ended it all was the end of February.
Yeah, and the one thing I noticed about this team, and I don't know if you noticed it either, they couldn't put together a string of wins. They'd win one game, two games, and then that's it. They'd win two games, three, and then they couldn't get that third win.
I mean, I have some stats that will back up that they were one of the most mediocre teams of all time and a very bad team. So they were 13th on the power play.
Ooh.
They were 11th on the penalty kill. They were top 10, but they were 10th in goals scored. They were 17-21-3 at home and 21-18-2 on the road. So basically almost as close to mediocre and 500 that you could get. And they were 5th in goals allowed. And if we remember, a lot of those goals were allowed to very bad teams such as Anaheim.
Yeah.
Arizona, who's not even a team anymore.
Nope.
San Jose. We had Ottawa at home. Then it was Buffalo on the road. And then there was a couple other bad losses. I don't know if you could pick me up on those, but there was a couple in the East too that really stuck out that it was like, we really are a bad team.
Well, the game against Pittsburgh, they had that, I think, 3-1 lead. Yep. And they go into the third period, and all of a sudden, it's 6-3.
Yep. 5 unanswered. They allowed.
And that wasn't the first time they did that this year in the third period. They did that against Edmonton, who's a great team, by the way. They did that against Buffalo. They blew a lot of leads. Mm-hmm. So it was like trying to figure out what their identity was for the year. They had none.
No, exactly. And I mean, if you probably went month by month, I would be shocked if there was a month they had a winning record. Because like you said, there was no identity. They never put together a string of like, all right, they're playing really good hockey. They would play a game or two of good hockey, and then they'd play two or three games of really bad hockey. I mean, if you look at like when they went on that West Coast swing, they looked awesome against a really bad San Jose team. I think it was 6-2 or something.
Yeah, it was like 7-2, I think.
Yeah, and then they went into Anaheim, and you thought, all right, Anaheim's another bad team, and they just looked horrendous.
Yeah, and Jack Hughes had that, they could have tied it, and he shanked on it.
Yep, not even shanked on it, fanned on it. You can't even use the word shanked because you would have to make contact to shank it.
Yeah, that's right. There was no contact on that penalty shot.
And he did that again in a shootout. I can't remember which game it was at the end of the season. Nashville, I believe. He did the same exact thing, I think, except that time he made contact, but he just shot it really high. Like it didn't hit the net.
Well, you know what I meant.
Oh, of course I did, but I had to prove you wrong. I gotta prove who you really are, Doug, on the Doug Saravo show.
And I don't know about you. I think you have season tickets, too. They were 15-18-2 when I went to these games. So yeah. I barely saw any wins this year compared to last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's where it starts. You got to have a winning record at home. And I mean, like I stated before, when you're 17-21-3 at home, you're not gonna do anything because you got to
– No.
Let's flip that around. They win 4 more games at home, they're in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
So it starts at home. Yeah, they had a good stretch last year with road wins, but that doesn't, you know, that didn't translate to having a better record on the road. They played well at home, too.
Yeah. This year was like, I know in October they were like 7, they were 7-4 and I think 1 at one point. And then Dougie went down to injury. How important is Dougie Hamilton to this Devils organization?
So when he went down, I thought he was, you know, he's very good, very talented. I thought he was very too attacking defensively. I thought he played too high. I thought he really didn't keep the shape of the defense, kind of like John Marino does. But then it clearly showed he's incredibly important and just like this season, proved me wrong because I thought, all right, he goes down. Yes, there'll be a little bit of drop-off defensively, but I don't think you're going to see a huge drastic change. And again, I was completely wrong. It was essentially where they never got an identity, like you stated, on defense. And, I mean, you thought, okay, they don't win games defensively. That's fine. They'll win games 6-5. They'll win games, you know, 7-6. Do what they have to do to win the game. Then there was games where they were getting shut out. They were losing, you know, 3-1. They couldn't even – they put 18 shots on net. I mean, you're not going to win games like that. So going back to your main point that, you know, I hate to say this, Doug. You were right. They had no identity.
They didn't. There was nothing like come from behind win, fast-paced style of hockey. On their power play, they played sloppy.
No physicality.
Whatsoever. Yeah, there was none of that.
I mean, we could look back to the Empire State Building back in February. That image of Nate Bastian is still haunting me.
So you go back, it's like, how do you describe the 2023-2024 New Jersey Devils? I say inconsistency. That's really the way you could put it, inconsistency.
I would use the word, I'll use two words, incredibly disappointing, because I don't think disappointing just disappointing is, oh, you know, you had a really good year, but there was 4 other teams that had a better year than you.
No,
it was incredibly disappointing. And I don't know about you. Yes. If you got that season ticket holder survey, I couldn't fill it out because I would have probably got a call from their department that wasn't happy. Because I would have really voiced my opinion.
Well, I just know it went up 10%.
Oh, yeah, of course. We got to pay. Someone's got to pay for Timo's contract.
Yeah, 10%. No more club seats, lounge seats, all that good stuff.
Nope.
So let's talk about Jack. And I know a lot of people may disagree with me. They may not like when I say this. But sometimes I feel like Jack thinks it's all about him. It's about his last name. Do you think I'm wrong for having that opinion, or do you think in some aspects it could be true?
I think you're wrong. I think he's just immature. When you look at his body language when he's losing, he's smashing his stick. He's getting frustrated. He's shaking his head. And I don't think that's because he wants to set a name for himself. I think he's just frustrated that they're not winning. I think it's still time will tell. I don't like the pair of Luke and Jack together yet.
Yeah.
I hope they prove me wrong next year, but I'll pinpoint a game right off the top of my head. Back when they played Philadelphia at home in December.
I know what you're talking about.
It was a little dump off back to, I think it was Jack. Jack yep. didn't know it was coming, and that was the game right there. So
yeah,
I don't think the whole backyard hockey stuff they pull. If that cleans up, I will change my mind. But for now, I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with the little dangling and this. Players are too good in this league. And if that doesn't clean up, that I could say would be more of the Hughes brothers trying to be the Hughes brothers. But I don't know about them playing just for their name, like especially Jack.
Yeah, because I remember that game too. Owen Tippett scored the game-winning goal, 4-3 in overtime. And they do that a lot on in the overtimes. Luke has the puck, drop pass to Jack, and then sometimes it could lead to a turnover and they lose the game in overtime. But I just feel like sometimes they think it's about them and they don't really put that team mentality first because they should be better than the way they've been performing. I understand Luke is a rookie. I understand Jack was injured. But at some point, there needs to be leadership in this locker room.
The thing is, he played, and we still don't know this, he played on a bad shoulder, which I don't know if you could fact check me on this one. I don't know if it was the shoulder he injured a couple years ago. But I don't, you know, I think he's got a toughness to him. I think the shoulder definitely bothered him. And I think he tried to do what he did last year. And when they won last year, you wouldn't be saying that. It's only because they had a bad year, you're saying.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying it. But still, you gotta hold these players accountable.
Yeah, but you can't say that, oh, he's trying to play for just himself because they had a bad year. Now, if they were winning and he still was focused on himself, then you could say that. But I think time will tell on that take, and I think it's going to be a freezing cold take on your end.
I don't know about that, but we'll see. Next year is the year, so hopefully not to win the cup, but to prove us wrong that they could be a solid Stanley Cup contending team. And we did find out today that Timo Meier actually is getting surgery. He was injured, played through it. I think he went on a stretch of 20 points in 15 games, started at 15 goals, ended the season around 28, 29. I think once Timo is healthy, he could be a key part for this offense. And I think that contract is going to be well worth it.
I disagree. I like him as a player. I don't think he was what held the team together when they re-signed him this offseason. I got nothing against the guy personally. I think he's very team-oriented. I think he's a very sloppy forward. He had a ton of turnovers this year. You can't say turnovers were because he was hurt. I mean, I could see if maybe he wasn't putting the puck on net because he was hurt, but you can't say that he was turning the puck over because he was hurt. He had very sloppy turnovers.
Well, I don't think I ever said that.
No, but you're pointing out that he was hurt, and oh, that's maybe why he had a slow start to the year.
No, I'm just giving updated news that he was hurt and now he's getting surgery.
Yeah.
You know what?
You're already getting excited about his contract and everything.
Well, if he continues to put up the points and the goals, then the contract will be worth it. That's the point I tried to make.
Yeah, but that was a small sample. He went hot, don't get me wrong. He had a great stretch. Who's to say he doesn't start off cold like he did last year, especially coming off this. I don't know the seriousness of this injury, but he's coming off this injury.
Yeah.
I'd expect another slow start, which, again, the contract's still ticking. You know, you don't get to void that contract because he's hurt. You're still paying the guy, and you still have this expectation as a first or second liner. I don't I don't think that was the answer, because I said to you off the show a while back, the to me the difference makers were the guys that they lost in this offseason. I would gladly take the five guys that they lost last year instead of some of the scrubs that they had playing by the end of this year. I was looking at the lines towards the end of the year, and I was like, I don't even know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Willman came up. I was like, I don't know who that guy is.
Well, that's where you go out and blame Fitz. Everyone wanted to blame Ruff, the goalies, but Fitz didn't really bring anyone important. He signed Justin Dowling, Max Willman to a contract. Fitz brought in AHL guys to play in the minors. We lost Wood. We lost Tatar. We lost a lot of depth, if you think, from my opinion.
I agree. And I mean, I think the issue, too, is he kind of backtracked on himself. But I mean, when you trade away to Foley, you're basically saying, one, we're giving up on the year. You're sellers, yeah. Which they should have been sellers. But two, you traded for that guy. You were the reason, Fitz, that we got that guy, and he was a great forward. I would have personally kept him and tried to see what he can do, and see if we can get him re-signed for next year. He's a piece I will gladly take all in again.
But, yeah, I'd take him back too.
But I mean, definitely you missed that physicality from Wood. You missed the veteran leadership from Tatar. You missed that, I don't know what you want to call it, size from Graves. I know Graves didn't really add a ton, but he did something right if he got him to the second round of the playoffs a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we weren't having this conversation a year ago.
No, I was like, yeah, I'm going to the playoff. I'm going to a playoff game.
So I think.
And I had to wear my jersey with pride.
Yeah, no. Now I'm putting some like clown makeup on it.
But back to the lack of death, he got rid of Toffoli, but the guy he traded for Toffoli put up 30 goals for Calgary.
Yep. Well, yeah. I mean, it's also Calgary.
Yeah, it's also Calgary, but...
But he put up a lot of goals for the Devils, too. And, I mean, you can't really trade for a guy and say you're all in, and then five months later, be like, never mind. I mean... I just think of all the Toffoli jerseys you saw in the stands.
Yeah.
I thought he was staying.
Yeah, I thought he was staying too, but I wasn't sure what this deadline was going to be all about. And then next thing you know, Vanacek is gone, and he brought in Kaapo Kähkönen and Jake Allen. And I just have a funny feeling the way Fitzgerald has been is that those are going to be our two goalies going into next season. That's my opinion.
I disagree.
I hope I'm wrong, but I just have that feeling.
I think is going to happen is we, as fans, we think we're going to get a big splash.
Yeah, like Soros.
Yes. I don't think the big splash is coming. I forget who, a couple of the other guys that are free agents. I'd have to look them up, but I know there's about four or five big names. I know Boston's got to make a decision on their goaltending.
Yeah, Allmark and Swayman.
They have both of those, I think, are up this year. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be any of those. I think they're going to get somebody's prospect, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm not too good with the AHL to pinpoint certain organizations and what they have coming up. But I can't see a world where both of those goalies are on the roster. I could see Jake Allen being a backup.
Yeah.
I can't say his name.
Kaapo Kähkönen.
I'm going to ruin it. Kähkönen. Being back on that roster, unless he's in the AHL.
Yeah.
They were not bad, but they still were letting in three or four goals.
Yeah.
Jake Allen fell apart in the last three or four games.
Yeah, he looked inconsistent the last few games.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you do going into this offseason? What message are you going to give to us, the fans? It's like, are we going to say it's a transitional year and we want to see what we got and we bring someone in? It's like, where do we go from here? It's like, it's confusing because we missed the playoffs. We could have made the playoffs. It was that close because you had Philly that fell off. You had the Islanders who barely snuck in. The Capitals shouldn't have even made the playoffs. Detroit was right there, and who knows what happens with Buffalo next year. So think about if
they got Lindy Ruff, so they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. So think about if we won the games we should have lost. I think we won the games we lost. We would have had 20 points. We could have easily been in
there. You got to be more specific than that. What games do we win that were losses?
Like if we beat...
Well, we're not going 82-0, Doug.
No, you know...
We won the games we lost. No.
No, you know what I meant.
Tell the audience what specific games, because I could pick a couple in mind right now.
Like if we didn't lose to the Coyotes... the Ducks on home ice.
Yep.
The Sharks on home ice.
Yep.
Blow a 2-0 lead against Buffalo in Buffalo.
Yep. There we go. This is what the audience wants. Tell them, Doug.
There was another game we lost that we should have won. The game
that
against
that Pittsburgh one. You
the Pittsburgh. Before. The game against Philly in overtime.
Yep. Yeah. No.
Those are points.
There was a couple. There was a Capitals game in October. I vaguely remember. They looked very flat. That should have been a winnable game because the Capitals were awful for 4 or 5 months, and they had a 6-week stretch where they played really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those should have been winnable games. No, I think I agree with you on that aspect. With those specific games, yes, if you turn those around, obviously, yes, they're probably in the postseason. I view it as this. Just take some of those to overtime.
Yeah, we weren't a team like that.
No, I can't pinpoint one game off the top of my head that we won in overtime. And I know we definitely didn't win in a shootout.
No. But I don't think we even made it to overtime. We barely made it. I think it's just a few times.
Well,
I know we have 4 overtime losses. That I know.
5. 3 at home, 2 on the road. But, I mean, that Rangers won back in November. That Saturday night, prime time. First matchup since the postseason. It was a very physical game. I thought they played well until that 5 minutes at the end or 6 minutes at the end where they fell apart. And that could be the story of the season was, we've had 40 minutes of good hockey and then 20 that we fell apart on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could have been easily a point there. Again, you don't have to win that game. You just got to take them to overtime.
And even that game, too, I think Trocheck won the faceoff. Panarin scored right away to tie it up. But we pull the goalie, and you would think when you have Hughes on the ice, you have Meyer on the ice, you got Nico, you got Brat, who played well this year. You pull the goalie.
Brat or Nico?
Brat.
I disagree with that. I thought Brat had a very down year. I thought if you're going back to your take on the Hughes playing, if Jack Hughes playing for his last name, I'd say Brat played more for himself than anything.
Yeah, but Brat put up the points.
Yeah, because if you look at his ice time, his ice time was top on the team. He was one of the few, knock on wood, that didn't get hurt for a long stint. I can't remember a game where he was hurt. So, yeah, of course he's going to put up the points when he leads the team in ice time.
I wouldn't say that just because of ice time.
You're saying that if someone's on the ice for way more time than Jack and Nico and obviously Dougie and John Marino and all those guys – they're not going to have more points?
I didn't say that.
No, you did. You said it's not because of ice time.
He played well.
Yeah, he played well. But I would still say that, like, you said he had a great year or a good year. I don't want to misquote you, but...
He had 82 points. He had a career year.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that's just because of ice time.
But I still think he kind of played for himself a lot. I mean, think of all the breakaways he had that he blew. And I like Brat. I think
so
he's
a player.
But he had a lot of breakaways that he screwed up. A lot of shootouts that he, like, again, going back to that Coyotes game in October, he had a shootout chance. He blew it. So, yes, he had a good year on paper. If you watch the film, I'm a film guy, Doug. You know that. I watch
the
film. If you watch the film, you could pinpoint a lot of scenarios where he either played selfish or he had a bad shot or a bad pass.
See, but I could say the same thing for Jack if I wanted to.
I'm not defending Jack, but I'm just saying that, like, if you want to, you want to call a spade, I think Brat should be in that conversation as well for being playing for himself.
All right, let's get back to my point before we lose Phil. So what I was saying was we would pull the goalie. We'd have the puck in our zone or our offensive zone. And then we give up a goal like 10 seconds later. Like, they're very sloppy hockey.
Yeah, I mean, that another example was when they had the Rangers on the ropes in the last one, April 3rd, I think it was.
Yeah, at the Garden?
I thought they played well.
3-2 lead.
Kind of over at that point. But you blew a 3-2 lead in the third period. And again, you didn't take them to overtime. Could have been a point. Very easy point right there. Take them to overtime. All right, you give up a goal, tied 3-3, reset. You got 5 minutes to try to win the game.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't do that. It's like, what was going on?
There's a lot of unanswered questions throughout the season that I don't think I'll ever understand.
Yeah, because I also feel like they're young, and a lot of them at their age still have egos, and I think it wasn't about the team as much.
I think once they realized that the season was on the line, nobody wanted to step up to the occasion to kind of lead that team. And I don't know if you want to, you know, lead us off with that question of whether Nico should be the captain. I know you've brought that up to me in the past, but I don't know if you
want
to tell the audience about that one.
Because I feel like some organizations have done it where they strip the captaincy. I feel like you could give it to a guy like maybe Timo or even Dougie.
Well, Dougie's got to stay on the ice first.
Yeah, he's got to stay healthy.
It's been 2 out of the 3 years he's been in the organization that he's gotten hurt for a long stint.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Dougie's the answer. But, yeah, I could definitely see a point in time where Nico's maybe not the answer. And listen, I mean, you know I'm a fired-up guy, but you don't always have to break stuff to try to get the attention in the room, you know. But he just never really had a fire to light under the team, it seemed.
Yeah, because I follow a lot of people on X, not Twitter no more. And Nico gets a lot of hate.
I don't think he deserves the hate. I just don't think he was the answer. I think it was kind of a panic mode of a captain when he was named the captain. I believe it was the COVID year, right? The year before or the year of the COVID year.
It was when the Canadians played the Lightning in the final. That's when Nico was rewarded the C.
So the COVID year.
The second COVID year.
That whole stint, like, is a fever dream. I don't remember which one was which.
Well, when you say COVID year, I think of the bubble.
Yeah, that wasn't that when Tampa played Montreal.
No, that was when Tampa played Dallas.
No, the bubble year was two Eastern Conference teams playing.
No, that was
when it was. No, because it was Canada versus the U.S. They had
Yes, it was Tampa versus Dallas. That was in the bubble. And then the following year, Yes, and then the following year, they realigned the divisions.
We got to fact check this one.
Look up 2020 Stanley Cup Final.
All right. Well, in the meantime, finish your Nico point. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
I feel like he's a good. I feel like he's a good leader. He grinds. He's physical in some way, but he's still young. And when you give someone the captaincy at age 21, 22, I feel like they're not there yet to understand what it takes to win important games. And when you look at the core of Nico, Jack, and Brat for 7 years, they've had 6 losing seasons. They had two playoff appearances. The one when they were a rookie and last year. So I feel like some guys aren't ready.
I agree. And I think, you know, going back to what I was saying before of the panic mode, I do think they didn't have really a guy that they could get behind. It was kind of like I transitioned it to the Jamie Langenbrunner captainship. Like, you know, Jamie Langenbrunner was a great player. Did he ever deserve to be a Devils captain, though?
I don't think so, exactly. No.
So I think it was – the only difference was they were consistently in the playoffs when Jamie Langenbrunner was captain.
Yeah, that was a difference.
So that's where I'd kind of translate it to that. I don't think the Devils have a history of picking winners as captains, you know, in as an organization of 40 years plus.
Yeah.
But I,
and like even too, I feel like there's no leadership within the veterans besides, I feel like besides Dougie. Like Andre Palat, I feel like that's a contract that's going to be bought out.
Yeah. How many years does he have left? He had one more.
He's got, no, he's got 3 years at $5 million per year. They signed him to 525.
Yeah, that's got it. They're going to have to do something, or they're going to have to try to find a team that's going to want to dump him.
Yeah.
And take that contract, that like a win now team. I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like cough, cough for Detroit. That sounds like someone that would love a Palat paired with Patrick Kane.
Yeah, I think that's where we could dump him. So did you look up the 2020 Stanley Cup final?
Yes, Douglas, you were right. It was the
Must be nice.
Listen, sorry, maybe I had the COVID brain during that time.
Well, we were all locked up in the house, so.
I just thought I remember them playing Montreal because I just remember seeing – I thought it was the first – And you know what the thing is, I can't even pinpoint which when the 2019-2020 season ended and when the 2020-2021 season ended because they both were so screwed up.
Yeah. Well, that one ended in like October and then the other one started in January and ended in middle of July.
Okay. That's it. That was the sprint to the Stanley Cup.
Now yeah. We're a Tampa one back to back.
Yes.
And Blake Coleman won another Stanley Cup, and I feel like we're missing a Blake Coleman top guy to play on that third line.
Well, that's why I think they went and got Palat.
Obviously
didn't work.
No.
Has not worked yet. Yeah.
So it's like
and that was if I remember a Fitzy move, correct?
What?
A Fitzgerald?
Yeah, that's a Fitzy move.
Time. Yeah, there you go.
Tom Fitzgerald. I feel like he has to be on the hot seat if he doesn't get a good coach. And I have a funny feeling Travis Green is going to remain the Devils head coach. I just have that funny feeling that Fitzgerald is going to stay within the organization.
And why do you say that?
Just because of the way he's been, his recent moves, it's been like, why has this been done? Why did you wait forever to get a goalie? Why did you say we're not giving up and then you trade Tyler Toffoli? So it's like, I think I lost faith in Fitzgerald, and I think he had a good intention of how to build this team, and he just lost track of it.
I agree, but I don't know how much of it was the resources he had. Because obviously, like, when you think about the guys that he had when he started, you know, he has similar pieces, and he tried to build off those pieces, and it hasn't quite worked out. He's almost like tearing down a team that maybe was set up for success, and because he was handed a lot of those players. You know, you think about Nico, you think about
Jack,
they were already in place. I mean, Dougie was one of his rare good signings, but, he hasn't been able to stay on the ice. The Vanacek signing didn't work out, or trade. I can't remember which that was. The list could go on. Like, he had pieces and either got rid of them or didn't re-sign them and kind of let an organization fall apart.
Yeah.
So I do agree with you that he should be on the hot seat. But then my question to you is, how much do you put on ownership? Or do you not want to be sad about ownership?
No, you can. You could put a lot of blame on Josh Harris and David Blitzer because they bought this team back in, 2013, the year after they went to the Stanley Cup final. What have we done since? Maybe 17?
Two playoff experiences.
Two playoff appearances in 10 years?
About that. Maybe three. I don't know. I'd have to double check that.
17, 18, 22, 23.
Yep.
So you can put blame at ownership. Do they truly care? Or are they just focused on basketball?
And he's got football now, too.
Yeah, he's got football, too. So I mean, like,
how many times have you tied? If you asked every season ticket holder. Oh, okay, let me leave season ticket holders out of it. If you asked a poll on the arena who the owner of the Devils is, I could guarantee half of our fan base does not know who the owner of the Devils is. So it's clear he does not. I don't want to say he doesn't care. He doesn't make it known that he is the owner. And I mean, I can't even name of like a press conference where he's named the Devils. Like,
yeah,
I think you have to care somewhat. And that's why a lot of, I mean, pointing across the river to the Rangers, hopefully I'm correct on this take, but you could see James Dolan. When do you see him involved with the Rangers? He's always involved with the Knicks, never involved with the Rangers. So I understand hockey's probably, you know, if you view popularity in the U.S., it's probably the fourth most popular. But if you're an owner that cares about a hockey team, you'd still, you know, not necessarily always show your face, but you'd be like, hey, listen, we suck right now. I'm pissed off and I want to win.
Well, look at the Vegas owner. We're going to make the playoffs. We're winning the Stanley Cup in year five.
Yeah, that's a guy who cares.
Whereas us, we're happy with a playoff appearance here and there.
Seattle's had a really good stretch of three competitive seasons.
Yeah, they played decent this year, but they just couldn't get the wins.
Yeah, they're selling out the arena. People are having, I mean, I know they talked about attendance this year, but it's like, I mean, I didn't feel the energy in the arena. They definitely, you know, didn't feel like we had home ice advantage.
No.
Whereas you look at Climate Pledge Arena, you look at Vegas, you look at, you know, all these different successful teams, they're selling out and they're having fun.
Yeah, us, it's like, let's play Sweet Caroline when the Boston Bruins are playing.
Yeah. And, I mean, I sitting next to me, it was a revolving door of people that were there, and half of them didn't even care that they were there. They were taking pictures half the time. So I just think you need to I don't want to say involve the fans more, but you just have to, like, kind of show your face and say, hey, like, I want to win. And then you'll get the fans rally behind it.
Yeah. I don't see anything.
So I'm sure Josh Harris listens to this podcast. So, Josh, when you're listening, just get the fans to care a little more.
Yeah, this year they were 38, 39, and 5. That's bad. That's a huge drop.
I was only hoping for a couple more wins at the end of the year, so they'd mathematically finish 41 and 41 with wins and losses. They'd finish like 41, 38 and 5, or, you know, 36 and 5 or whatever. I was really rooting for that, not going to lie.
500.
Because that would have summed up this season. A very incredibly disappointing year.
Because even during back-to-backs, I think they went, what, like 3 and 12 or whatever it was?
Well, the NHL definitely screwed us on that. We had the most back-to-backs in the NHL.
Yeah, but that's no excuse.
Yeah, realistically, like, I'm gonna point the finger at Bettman on that one.
You still have to go out and perform.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, you could look at a back-to-back for the Devils, and if they won the first one, they were losing the second one. If they won the first one, they were winning the second one. I mean, I'm just mad I didn't pick up on that earlier, because I would have made a lot of money on that theory.
Yeah, you could have.
Because
could have bet against
they
them.
They won one back-to-back all year, in the second half of the season, they won one back-to-back, and that was in the beginning of February. 17th and 18th or something along those lines. It was when they played Nashville in Nashville. That broke the curse.
So if there was one off-season wish list for Daniel Placco, what would you want for the New Jersey Devils?
I'd like a reliable goaltender that is going to put up 60 games a year. Can I have multiple things on this wish list?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'd like them not to raise the season ticket prices 10%.
Yeah. I want my lounge seats back.
I would want someone that's a little bit more physical, like a third or fourth liner, like a Miles Wood.
Yeah.
Something like that, like a Trouba on the Rangers. Like even someone like a Tom Wilson who's past their prime and can just when someone gets hit hard, they're going to hit them even harder. And I think that's mm-hmm. what they thought McDermott was going to be. And he was anything.
Who?
McDermott. They traded for him from Colorado.
Oh, that guy that's been on the ice sometimes?
Yeah, that guy. So kind of replace him with someone who actually is a hockey player, let's put it that way. And then my last would be this might work pair with the thing I just said, but, you know, just a reliable defenseman that's going to help them keep shape and kind of put their body on the line. Like there was
yeah.
a lot of times where they just didn't want to get low and block the puck.
Uh-huh.
Stick out. Let's put our body on the line. Obviously, as an armchair quarterback, it's easier said than done. But, I mean, come on. You're playing one of the toughest sports in the world. You gotta lay your body up.
Yeah. All right, before we conclude, let's talk about the one shining point of the season.
Like, actually shining?
Yeah.
Probably those bucket hats that we got in October. That's about all I got.
Oh, I was going to bring up the stadium series.
No, that was by far the most fun. I would say that definitely was a shining moment for sure. I obviously it was sweeter that they won, but I think win or loss is incredible atmosphere. You know, you saw we were having fun at the tailgate, having a good time. I don't think your brother maybe liked it too much, but that's okay. But I definitely think it was almost like a fever dream with how much fun it was.
Yeah, it was great. I had a good time. So I forgot to bring this up. Now, I don't want to talk about the details of his sexual assault case because that's for a civil case and for Canada and the law. But I feel like the locker room fell apart once he went down.
I think it was kind of one of those things that was never talked about for that reason that you just stated. You know, it's all about what they find in court and things like that,
mm-hmm.
what they end up addressing it for. But I think it felt like as an organization, it was swept under the rug. But I could also say that about every organization with the players involved. Like I didn't hear a lot about, you could kind of say that for Philly as well.
Yeah.
You know, because they'd fell apart as well.
Yeah, their season fell apart once Carter Hart was involved with it too.
I think obviously what happened was horrendous and just an awful thing. And I think the players deserve it, obviously what had happened to them. And, you know, I hope they never play another minute in the NHL. It sounds like that's the case.
I think that's the case too, but I'm not going to comment on it.
But going back to what you were saying, yeah, I mean, you could probably pinpoint it. He was very good at faceoffs, but you know, it's obviously something more important than hockey. And you know, you can't pinpoint that for the reason that they kind of exploded.
Yeah, because I wonder what their record was at that point, but it's just it's amazing how the season last year, everything looked great. We were chanting "We want the cup" after Game 7.
You were chanting that. I wasn't.
Yeah, I was chanting it, but it was like, oh, I'm in heaven. This team, oh, I can't wait. We're winning the cup this year. We're going there. Then we played Carolina. I think we got exposed against Carolina. We played bad. Very bad, especially the last game. I think it was game 4. Don't even want to talk about it. It was like 6-1 loss. And then this year, coming back, should be a good year. And everything just fell apart.
Yep. But the only thing we could hope is anybody but the Rangers.
Yes.
And then if you look at that, if anybody on the West wins it, you could point at everybody on the East and say, guess what? They did just as much as the Devils did, which is not win the cup.
Yeah. You could say that.
I'm a big believer in if you don't at least make it to the final, there's really not much to brag about. So let's just hope that it's it's someone like Carolina that makes it or something like that. Keep it out of the tri-state area.
Yeah, I did not, because we got to deal with a lot of Ranger fans in this area. Friends, family maybe, but it's, if they win that Stanley Cup,
I might have to take some time off of work.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wear jerseys with pride. Well, Daniel, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your postseason.
Hey, Doug, have a great summer.
Yeah, enjoy your summer, Daniel.
Yeah, you too, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. Thank you for being a fan.
Yeah.
All right, see you, Daniel.
See ya. Thank you.